It's Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Like I said, a lot happening. And on Saturday, November 24th, there is quite the must-see event. It's going to be held at the IUECWA Union Hall on Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton. And it is called The Show Must Go On and features the Ruby Girls. Now, if you don't know who the Ruby Girls are, we are going to clue you in. They are super cool, and I got to sit down with a couple of the girls, we'll say their alter egos, earlier this week. Here's some of that conversation.
I'm Jonathan McNeil.
And I'm Joshua Stuckey. Actually, I'm one of the original of the three Ruby Girls that actually got it started. It's been around since like 1984, 85, somewhere in that vicinity. And it was a group of college buddies that used to just be stupid and dress and drag and kind of laugh with each other. And then eventually what happened was we started bringing other people into the fold, including audience people. And it just grew and grew and grew. And we went from our apartments to houses to being on the stage. And now we actually put on productions at local theaters and things like that. And so it actually started off very small and just got bigger and bigger. And then we got involved in helping out with charities when the whole HIV crisis hit. And we were guys that didn't have a penny to give to anyone. But we thought, well, how about if we do these shows, raise money, and give that money to those people? And it worked out.
Well, I was a fan, first and foremost, in the mid to late 90s. And started just being a groupie, really, going around to their shows, if they were here in town or in Columbus or Cincinnati. And they found out that I was a filmmaker, that I was in film school, rather, and they wondered if I would start videotaping their shows just for their own fun. And I kind of worked myself into that family dynamic that was happening, taking the camera backstage as well, and then being invited out to dinners with them and whatnot, and eventually was asked when I was going to start performing, which is kind of what I'd been waiting for all along. And so since 97, I've been part of the troupe.
And coming back to what you were saying about performing in houses and for your friends, and then making that kind of leap to performing on stage in front of audiences, was that a conscious decision to do that, or did that just kind of happen organically?
A little bit of both. Actually, what originally happened was when we changed over to doing a stage show, there was a bar in downtown Dayton called Changes many years ago. And there was a group of gentlemen who were going to be going to the Gay Olympics, and they were a swim team. And they asked if we would have any desire to help out with this swim team fundraiser. We're like, sure, we'll do it. So we showed up at a bar to do that, and the bar was packed with people, mostly to see the boys in their Speedos. But we were kind of like the secondary act of that, and that's really what got the ball rolling. So in a sense, it really had very little to do with the HIV piece. And then from there, we started seeing, you know what, we can actually raise this money for anything we choose to do. So when we met as a group, we just decided the HIV thing was the way to go because so many people, you know, in that era were suffering from HIV. And not only them, but the people around them were also going through that. We thought we can really make an impact and make a difference here in the Dayton community. So in a sense, yes, it was a little bit organic and a little bit planned. You know, it was great. It was a wonderful way to have this thing go.
Tell me about what both of your experiences have been as far as the Ruby Girls being kind of like a family, you know, going from three guys to a larger group, but still with that really tight-knit kind of vibe.
Well, it certainly works like a family. I mean, there can be moments of great tension and moments of great joy, and we kind of go through it all together. I mean, it's been really amazing to see how the audience responds to that as well. When they're in their seats and watching what's happening on stage, it's infectious. They want to be a part of that kind of camaraderie that's happening up there.
And I think too that what's really satisfying about it is it takes on a feeling of an improvisational thing. That even though I have no idea what he or she or that one's going to do, I trust that whatever they do is for the betterment of the show and the betterment of the family. So that underlying trust, I think, is a huge piece of the puzzle. We really do trust each other to get through the shows, not only that, but to keep our focus on what we're doing this for. So that's a big part of it.
In talking about the improvisational aspect, part of what makes Ruby Girls shows so fun is that they feel so completely spontaneous. How much of any given show is planned out, and how much of it does actually happen in the moment?
The numbers are planned out. The songs themselves are planned out. We get together and rehearse for those. Everything else is completely improvisational. Everything else is just on the spot. And I think that's what makes the audience love it so much. They're like, oh my God, how are they going to get out of this mess? And, you know, we somehow do. So I think it's a lot of fun.
And within those songs, I mean, it does not always go as planned. So there is some improvisation in the fact that, you know, somebody messes up something and it kind of, you know, is a domino effect for the rest of the number to catch back up or work it out.
I actually heard a fan say one time, I know you guys plan for it to be perfect, and thank God it isn't. And I think that's a big key to the whole thing, too. So,
describe for me, each of you, the sort of transformation process when you become your Ruby persona, going from, you know, your everyday guy with a job and a life to being a diva. What's that process like?
It takes, for me, I can have fun at a rehearsal and I can start really getting it together and really kind of understanding what my material is going to be and what it, you know, how it will maybe end up on stage. But I never really get there until I'm totally in drag, till I totally have the mask on, the makeup, the heels, the wig. You know, none of it really happens until I'm really there.
It's kind of, for me, it's the microphone. I've always said that. Like, when I'm doing a show, I'm just doing a show. But if I grab that microphone, it is Dana Centel. It's not Josh anymore. It's this other character who's like, that microphone gives me a sense of power, like this sense of, you know, I can say whatever I want and do whatever I want because there's something about that thing in my hand that keeps me feeling above it all.
And we know that about Josh. even when we were doing a show that was a reveal for this year's Masquerade, we were looking at, you know, kind of introducing what the theme was going to be. It was the theme release party. He was put a wig on and a dress a la Kathy Bates from Misery, not a stitch of makeup on whatsoever, but he was immediately Dana Centel and quite ready to have a ball at that place. So
some of the girls will tell you that it's all about the lipstick. They'll say like, oh, I'm almost in drag, but I'm not in drag until I put on my lips. And it is funny because as soon as that lipstick goes on, there's a transformation in some of these people. I think the people, so many of our fans, you know, they look at India Summer as the beautiful diva of, you know, the Ruby shows. And truly, the transformation from Brent to India is all about those lips. The lips go on and boom, there's India Summer. So everybody has their thing.
If you were to describe a Ruby Girls show for someone who had never, ever attended, how would you sum it up in one sentence?
I would tell people, if they were coming to a Ruby show, that they are about to be part of something that really, truly strikes at the heart, but makes you laugh your ass off. That's what I would say.
What's it like for you to be, you know, having a great time up on stage with your friends, entertaining an audience, dressed up, and knowing that you're also giving back to the community, in particular, in a lot of cases, to HIV/AIDS research and support?
I think one of the things that happened years ago was when the girls were offered the opportunity to perform on stages, the bar owners knew that there was money to be made, and the girls made a conscious decision that there is money to be made, but let's not keep it for ourselves. Let's put it somewhere else. And I think that energy and that dynamic has helped to make it all the more popular and helped to make it all the more civic-minded and just really being there for the community. And I think that certainly is something that's pretty special to me. To know that we can do a show in one night and raise $12,000 or $15,000 is pretty exceptional. Because really, I mean, we put a lot of time and energy into this, but not some money sometimes too. But when you look at those dresses and whatnot, those are not off the $100 rack at Macy's. They're off the 35-cent rack at Village Thrift.
And I would say, you know, there have been Ruby Girls that have come and gone over the years. And I think for some people, there is a sense that they lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. And it almost changes into, I can't do this anymore. I just, you know, it's not fun, or I don't feel the thrill anymore. And when it becomes about that person, they've really lost sight of what we're doing. I don't always feel good in my boots and my shoes and those tight girdles and bras or whatever else is going on. But, you know, when you're looking out at that audience that's reaching into their purses and into their wallets to give money to you to help other people, that outweighs any kind of pain or ache that you might feel in your body. So, you know, in 1999, the city of Dayton awarded the Ruby Girls, you know, the Community Service Award for this city. That's huge for a bunch of drag queens to get something like that. You know, for them to say, you know what, this is a civic-minded group of people.
I feel like the Ruby Girls have become a really big part of the Dayton community, reaching beyond just the LGBT community, but definitely becoming a big part of the performing arts community and the philanthropic community. From your perspective, has kind of general acceptance from the Dayton community come fairly readily? Has that been an easy thing over the years?
I think that it's been really phenomenal how supportive the community has been, from the local press to organizations opening their arms for us to perform in their venues and their spaces. I mean, we've been at bars that are not specifically gay bars. You know, we've been at the Human Race Theater. We've been at the Dayton Playhouse. We've been at places that are really respected in the community. So for them to want to help us out is all the more special.
I would agree. I mean, and not only those places, but other unusual places. We performed at nursing homes that were like, we just want to bring some joy to, you know, the citizens of our nursing home. So I think there's, you know, the Ruby Girls have really, it's been a really interesting reach to see who we've gotten to. And it's been a complete mix of people, which is interesting because that's certainly not what we thought would happen at the beginning of all this. It's cool.
And I would say, too, the documentary that came out now almost 10 years ago has played in communities across the country, and people can't believe that we're doing this and making this much money and going this long and still going. So there is some magic there, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
And I, you know, I always tell people we outlasted Oprah Winfrey, which is a huge thing. We did it.
Well, tell me about the show on the 24th. I don't want to spoil any potential surprises, but any hints you can give us of what we might be seeing on the stage?
I think one of the themes that people are going to love is what so many people get up on Thanksgiving Day to watch on television. We're going to give a little parody of that situation. And not only that, you know, for those of us who are huge Bond fans, who, you know, 50 years now with Bond, I don't know if we'll outlast Bond, 50 years of James Bond films will give you a little Bond feel as well. And then there's a couple other things I'd rather keep under wraps.
So we're parodying the dog show?
Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was my conversation with members of the Ruby Girls. Check out their show. It's November 24th. That's Saturday night. It's called The Show Must Go On. And you can find all the details at arcohio.org/Ruby. RUBI. And that show, as we mentioned, the Ruby Girls always do their shows for charity. And of course, that will be going to benefit AIDS Resource Center Ohio. Check it out. We've got links up on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio.